I want to talk to you about moving on with God. Let's look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. The calling of the disciples. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, Andrew his brother, casting their nets into the sea, for they were fishermen. And when he had said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers." Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two others, brothers James and son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he said to them, "Follow me." And immediately they left their boat and followed Jesus. Moving on with God. We serve a God that I believe is a God of change. He doesn't change, but he changes things for us. He brings about his purposes through change. And I believe that we need to, if we are going to move with God, we've got to change as well. I think as Zechariah said, "Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you." And I believe that that's the prerogative there is not God drawing near to us. It's us drawing near to him in us. And the question we need to ask ourselves, God is a God of who is moving. Are we moving with God? Are we moving with God? And God wants us sometimes to do things in our lives that we have that we think, wonder what God's doing here. Wonder why God's moving this way. I wondered why I got COVID. I honestly wondered why I got it. But let me tell you, it taught somebody how to pray continuously. Louise was weeping in a room on my behalf. God says all things will work together for good. Perhaps they weren't very good for me, but for her, they produced something in her that nothing else could do. And I believe that's what God wants to do for us. And God wants to move. And if we're going to move with him, we've got to do certain things. We've got to leave our comfort zones. Amen. If we're going to move in God, we've got to leave our comfort zones. We're always happiest when we're with those that we're most comfortable with. And who are those? People that we know. I've been in situations when suddenly I've been placed among people who have no idea who they are. And I'm a little bit apprehensive. They're wondering what's going to go. Especially when I've been asked to actually present something to them. Wondering how it's going to go about. I'm comfortable this afternoon. To be quite honest with you, I'm comfortable as we've gathered together. But sometimes God asks us to go outside of our comfort zones. And we not many of us like change. I don't like change. I have to change, and change happens in my life, but I don't like it. But I have to do that which brings about God's purposes. And God's purposes are brought about by our normal routine, not by the normal things we do, but by an intervention that he brings into our lives to change us into the image of his dear son. That's his aim and that's his purpose. We are content with the status quo. Someone said to the other day, they were praying, they said, forgot what the words are now, but it meant just help her to stay as she is. And I thought, well, I want her to be different. I want her to be different. I want to move on. But we are content with the status quo. We like being in control, working things out how we can do them, doing what we think's the right thing to do, and doing those things that will bring about what we think should be done. But we've got a God that's got, we had it on the, I forget who put it on, but someone put it on the internet in our message in this week. How God is a God greater than us. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are greater than our ways. And he knows the end from the beginning. He knows all about what's going to happen. He knows what's tomorrow. We hope we know what we might be doing tomorrow. We're not sure of that until tomorrow comes. I once ministered the fact that tomorrow never comes. Because when tomorrow comes to us, it's today. And it's always today, it's always now. And we feel most comfortable when we're in control, when we're able to do those things which we know for. The unknown scares us. Stepping off that area where he was quite comfortable into something that he didn't know whether it was going to be there or not. But by faith, he took the step. And sometimes God says to us, by faith, take a step with me. Do something for me. Get out of your comfort zone and get into the place where I want you to be so that you can bring about my purpose. We feel most comfortable when we're with friends. But among strangers, we can feel uncomfortable. We're happy paddling our own canoe because we know where it's going. But if someone else is paddling it, we're wondering what's happening here. If you're going towards, I've never been, but they say there's these rides, these rapid rides, the people that to take you down them, they're experts. And I should imagine if I was doing it on the paddle, we'd sure to fail. And let me tell you, an expert's in control of your life. An expert. He never fails, for he's God. But when we start meddling and keeping in our own comfort zones, keeping where we feel the most comfortable, we find that we miss that which God has got for us. Sometimes we have to step out into the unknown and we don't like it. The challenge is to leave our comfort zones and move on with a God who's so full of variety that he never has to do the same thing twice. We like routine. We like to have it laid out. But God very often doesn't have a routine. But he has something for us that if we're prepared to get out of our comfort zones and move on with God, we will move into the area that he wants to bring us to. We have to abandon our preconceived ideas. One of the things that we like to know, we like to think that we know best. One of the most used hymns, or not a hymn, rather a song, in the last few years that I've been to unsaved people is, I did it my way. Well, if you're going to do it your way, you're going to miss God's way. We've got to move on in God and abandon our preconceived ideas, those things that we think. Should be done our way. We think things can only be done our way. We limit God. Yeah. And he's moving amongst us. Be ready to move, to step out. Be ready to move forward. Take away your own thinking. Pastor's already talked about making sure you've got the right thinking. Making sure that you're thinking along God's lines, not along human lines. We limit ourselves. If we start using just what we think is the right thing to do, instead of looking forward and seeing God. How many times has God told you or told me in my life to do certain things? And I've said, well, that's not how I do it, Lord. That's not the way I think it should be done. And start to think that I've got a better idea than God. You can't outthink God. You can't outmaneuver God. God's got plans and purposes for us. But if we've got preconceived ideas, we prohibit what God can do. It's happened to me here just recently. I'm a typical Pentecostal. If I bled, I bleed AOG. I've been brought up in that kind of atmosphere. And when we're talking about christening, Joshua and the little fella here, I was a little bit apprehensive. I must admit, I thought, well, just what's it going to happen? But when I went into the service and I saw them anoint Joshua's feet and our little brother's feet, that God might guide their footsteps. When I saw it changed my whole thought life, my whole thing. I saw how beautiful their thing was. And it wasn't nothing like that. I dedicated my children. And they, quite frankly, they came to the front. The pastor held them in his arms and just asked God's blessing. And I wanted that blessing. And I was prepared to work that God's blessing would be upon them. But when I saw some of the things that we did during that service, my heart was thrilled. Because we were not just blessing them, but we were actually protecting them from the things that would either come from the past or in the present or in the future. We're putting God's protection. So I had to change my thoughts. My preconceived idea was completely wrong. It changed me around. So we've got to abandon them. After the problem with our ideas, there are things that we have done before with a little bit added on. But very often God's ideas are completely new, brand spanking new, taking you into areas you've never been before, taking you to situations you've never thought was possible. I've gone to places I would never have gone to if it hadn't been for the hand of God upon my life. I'm willing to actually say, well, if that's what you want, Lord. You know, I met Andrew and Grace in 1984. I met them before that, but about 84, I moved into the same church. I didn't go there because they were there. I felt that's where God wanted me to be. But that was the beginning of a journey that is now, it's culminated that we're together now in working in the church of God. And let me tell you, friends, God's got plans. He sees beyond anything you can see. He sees greater things than you can see. He's got things for you that you cannot even perceive. But because of our preconceived ideas, we sometimes miss what God has got for us. And so we see that changes took place in the life of the disciples. Just imagine, they've been fishing all their lives. They'd thrown nets out. When Jesus said to them one day, throw your net on the right side of the ship. It was the wrong side of the ship. You realize that? It was the wrong side of the ship. Because most people are right-handed. And when you're trying to pull in a net full of fish, you need your strongest arm. So it's always the net was, as far as I can remember from what little bit I've been told, the nets were always thrown on the left-hand side of the ship so that when you held it in your left hand, but you did the pulling in with your right. But Jesus said, do the opposite. Do the opposite. My preconceived idea says, that's the wrong way round, Lord. When I first saw that in Zechariah, when it says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you, I thought, well, it's the wrong way round. Surely it's God drawing near to me. And then I'll draw near to him. No, he has to get permission from you to draw near to you. He gets that when you draw near to him and you say to him, come into my life. He then comes in. We do what we can, but God, when he comes in, he does what he can. And let me tell you, it's far greater than we ever thought it could be. If we are to move on with God, we'll have to abandon our ideas and take on God's ideas. And we will not experience God's moving until we do that. If you want God moving in your life, don't look at what your ideas of life to be. Look at what his life is. So as Pastor said, it's here in the book. It's here in the book. Be obedient to what the word says, not obedient to what you think or what your thoughts are. Changes took place in the life of the disciples as they walked and moved with Jesus. Can you imagine on the Mount when Jesus said to him, 5,000 men, you feed them. You feed them. Jesus knew what he was going to do. But he said to them, if we had got so many pence of food, we couldn't buy enough to feed all this crowd. But he said to them, you feed them. He said, what have you got? What have you got? And out of what they got, they fed the 5,000. Jesus didn't feed them. He made the amount ready and able to for them to feed. Because he took the bread and he broke it. And he gave it to the disciples and they fed the people. And I believe that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be such in our lives. We say we can't do that, Lord. And the Lord says, yes, you can't do it. But if you give me what you've got, I'll then make up what you need to bring about the purposes I have for you. So the disciples, they had many, many troubles. When Jesus was on the mount, a man brought his little boy and they couldn't do anything about him. Couldn't do anything about it. And Jesus told them, it's because they didn't put their faith and trust in the Almighty God. Or else it could have happened that Jesus did the work. So they had challenges in their lives. We have challenges in ours. with our preconceived ideas sometimes, which causes us to withdraw from the challenge because we think it's too great. Instead of, he took some of the disciples, instead of them swindling, and they did the opposite. Matthew was a tax collector. And he wasn't, the tax collectors weren't very good men at times, because they asked for more than they should have done. But they're working for those that had actually come and conquered the land, the Romans. So they were a traitor to their own cause. They weren't people that were liked very much. Zacchaeus was the same. But when Jesus came along, he touched them. Zacchaeus said, if I've taken anything from anyone, I'll give them four times more. And so it changes, but our preconceived ideas sometimes can make it that we miss God's love, God's power at work in our lives. And the disciples, they were taken out of fishing for fish to fishing for men. But it took 3.5 years. And after 3.5 years, what did they do when they saw Jesus on the cross? They still had not perceived, still not grasped what Jesus wanted to do with their lives. Still not realized that they were going to take up something that was greater than they ever thought it was going to be. And so they all fled and left him. But let me say to you, if they'd only realized what God was doing through the cross, through the resurrection, and they did afterwards, but at the time they thought their world was ending. And our preconceived can give us the same idea. And instead of having the work of God in our lives, we have our own works, and we think we know best. God knows best, because he knows the future. We have to get ready for new challenges. Jesus challenged these disciples in every area of their lives as they moved and lived their lives with him. Can you imagine being at the wedding feast when he changed the water to wine? I often like to think I could see the situation through the disciples' eyes. What's he doing now? It's water. Then he says, bear it to the head man of the feast. I should imagine the disciples were thinking, let's get under the table, lads. Let's pretend we have nothing to do with this man, because he's going duck. Crackers. And then when he saw the lady who touched the hem of his garment, and he asked, who touched me? Come on, Lord, who touched you? There's thousands, million around you, who's touched you? Ah, but, he says, this was a special touch. So Jesus knew. The disciples were challenged all the way along their life with them. And we are challenged in our Christian lives. We're challenged with the things that he wants to do. He challenges them in a way in which they had never been challenged before, and we are the same. I'm challenged as I've never been challenged before with what God wants to do in the work that he's brought us into. God has taken us into a way where we're going to see great things, but we've got to make sure that we move with God and not move in our own abilities. So easy to sit back and say, oh yes, this is what we can do. We've done this before. This is how we did it. Before we seek God's face and say, how should we do it, Lord? And he shows it to us. He challenged Peter. He said to him, Peter said, if it's you, Lord, tell me to come. And he challenged Peter, and Peter got out of the boat. He walked on the most unstable thing for holding things up that we have. If you throw something with weight into water, it sinks. Peter was going to start and walk on water. Let me tell you, he walked on water. He walked on water not because he was any better than the rest of them in the boat, but he was prepared to get out of the boat at the word of Jesus and walk towards Jesus. Yes, okay. He had a bit of a wobble in the middle. He had to say, Lord, I'm beyond my depth. Now, often have you found yourselves out of your depth in God? But let me tell you, he didn't put you out of your depth to drown you. He's put you out of the depth to say it, to see the ability he has to lift you up, to support you and bring you through. So he was absolutely out, completely out of, he was challenged and he took up the challenge. What do you do with the challenges that God gives to your lives? What do you do with those things that he challenges you with? What do I do with the things he challenges me with? Let me tell you, they're not there to break you. They're there to make you. They're there to make you feel and know the ability of God in your life is beyond anything you could ask or think. Jesus said in John 10:10, I will I come that they might have life, not just life, but life more abundant. And I want that kind of life. I want to live that life. They're talking about 70 years, 70 years and 10. I've gone past 70 years and 10. I'm looking to 120. Hallelujah. If God gives it, and let me tell you, there's been times when this body is almost given up. Times when this body has had enough. But God says, it might have had enough at the moment, but I'm going to pour in the strength. I'm going to pour in that which you need. I'm going to give you. The challenge was at the times when that happened. And it's happened about 8 times in the last 10 years. God's just said, thus far and no further. Thus far. He's in control. He knows what you need. He knew what I needed. I had 2 days when COVID just knocked me out completely. I don't know whether I had anything to eat or drink. I don't know anything about those days at all. Tuesday and Wednesday of that week were completely gone out of my memory. But they're not gone out of God's memory. And in it, he showed me that no matter what, he can bring us through. God is challenging us. And Peter rose to the challenge. Let us rise to the challenges that God puts in our lives. And if you are going to move in God, we can expect the same kind of challenges into our lives. Not challenges that we can easily do. If you challenge me to walk 10 yards without falling over, I can do that. If you challenge me to walk a mile and not fall over, I don't know whether I could do that. But God doesn't give you impossible challenges. But what he says is, you give me what you've got. I'll challenge you. And in that challenge, you give me what you've got. And if you do that, I'll give you what I've got. And that's sufficient to take you through the challenge and bring you out the other side triumphant. So we need our whole reason for getting... Sorry, my eyes have gone funny. His big glasses slip down. My bifocals make 2 lines look like 3. God will also do things that we've never done before, as God enabled us by his power to rise to the challenge that he puts on our lives. Peter rose to the challenge. The Bible is just full of people who got challenged to do things his way. We've got Gideon, the mighty man of valor. He was thrashing corn in a vine press. He wasn't thrashing it where they normally did because he was frightened of the Midians. But he says, mighty man of valor. But we then see God starting as he yields to God, moving in him and bringing him to that place. Let me say, God wants to do the same for you. He wants to challenge you. You may be in the back corner, hiding away. But God wants to challenge you and he's going to bring you forth. And in that challenge, he's going to show to you that you can show to our world that we live in that God, our God is able to do far abundantly above all that we can ask or think. When God challenges you, what do you do about the challenge? How do you go about working what he wants you to do? It's all his friends is just yielding to him, just giving yourself to him. Showing to him that you love him and also showing to him that you're ready to do that which he requires of you. The thing that God, the new challenges that I believe that God has put in your life and in mine causes you to take them up and do them, you will then find that your God is greater than you ever thought he could be. God is bigger than you. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are greater than your ways. But if we don't take up the challenge, if we stay in the boat, if we keep to our own agendas, if we stay in our comfort zones, let me tell you, how to, they will only lead us into things that will keep us away from God and stop the power of God working in us and through us to the glory of His name. Get ready for the new growth. Get ready for new growth. New growth will bring problems. New growth will bring baggage. They'll come in with difficulties. And it's our job as those that know the Lord and raise up to the challenge that they bring to us, that we might be able to take them into a place where they start to realize that God is able to meet their every need. Everything that we do in God is got to be done in such a way that when people come in, they feel welcome. They feel that they can be part of this great family of God I believe God is building in this place. We are pilgrims on a pilgrimage. In the old days, and years ago, pilgrims used to take, they used to say, well, we've got to make a pilgrimage to this area. Luther went from Germany to Rome, walked it, but on the way there were signposts to show him the way. And in the walk we have with God, there are signposts that shows us the way. The signposts are here, His word, to direct us and help us. We've had this last week, there's been on the messenger things that I've just felt that God was saying to me. We've got some of the things that we need to do to be able to do the work that He's caused us to do, to work for Him, do those things that will bring glory and honor to His name. But new growth will come, and they also have its problems. But when they come, what are you going to do about it? What are you prepared to do? Are you prepared to get out of your comfort zone because someone else is in need? Are you prepared to do those things that will help you to bring about the purposes of God in this place? God hasn't put you here to fill a seat. We've said that many times before. You're not pew fillers. You're here to work the purposes of God and bring about His purposes in our hearts and lives. God wants the best for us. And you're always looking to bring about, in your experience, that which will bring glory and honor to His name. God's greatest problem is He puts down markers, He puts down pointers, He shows us the way, but we don't take any notice. We want to go our way. Let's be those friends that will do that which God requires. Sometimes we do see the markers, but we're not willing to do what they ask us. We're not willing to follow what this word says. Not willing to look at the word of God and say, oh, you're speaking to me on that line, Lord. We want to do it our way. I'm passionate for God. I love Him with all my heart. My desire that God will just move in a mighty way and show us the way forward. But if He shows us the way forward, we've got to be prepared to go. Got to be prepared to do those things that will bring about His purpose and His will within our lives. God has always had a passion for people that will hear what He has to say and then willingly say do what He's asked Him. Right from Abraham, right the way through the whole of the Bible, you will find that God has challenged people. God has caused people to be brought into a position where He's asked them to do that which is impossible, and also He's asked them not to compromise what they've done before. David had two occasions when he asked God, what should I do about this? How should I go about defeating these Philistines? When he first became king, God said, do it this way. But then the next time came along and he thought, well, we did it before. Well, hey, let's go, boys. No, he didn't. He inquired of God. Don't assume and think that you know what God wants every time. He never has to do the same thing twice. He's a God of variety. Let that variety be amongst us. Let that variety be part of our church life. Move in where God wants you to move and be what God wants you to be. God always had to face up to people that didn't do what He asked. And then He had to bring about change that drew them back to Him. The attitude has led people to God, and sometimes they've gone astray. The attitude is, I know best. God knows best. You want His best? Listen to what He has to say. yield to what he's asking you to yield. Do the things he's asking you to do. And as we do, we'll see the purposes of our God done amongst us. Amen.